when she's been, and
like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Did we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic bi moment of the
chaotic bi moment. And you're watching Black Bi Reality.
Black Bi Daddy.
And those who love us.
Hello, you are watching and or listening to the Black Bi Reality podcast, a podcast for Black Bi Baddies. Those who love us. I'm your host, Nicole Weaver, an entertainment reporter currently writing for Collider, and I am back. We took a little break for episode 8 of Survivor 47, and I am joined by Tiffany Nicole Irvin. Hi.
Hi, I'm happy to be here.
I am happy you're here as well. How have you been feeling about Survivor 47 so far?
I've actually really been enjoying this season. It's thoroughly entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
The people are funny. The production is great. So far, I feel like at first I was a little worried, right? Because, you know, coming off the heels of my own season, I'm like, oh God, like, am I going to get triggered? But no, like, the entertainment factor is still there. I'm having a really good time watching this season so far.
Oh, that's a really, really good news. Yeah. Do you have any favorites? What's been, like, the most intriguing part of the season for you?
You know what? There are, like, a couple. I don't know if I have favorites yet. I'm really enjoying watching Rachel play. I'm enjoying watching Genevieve play. This past episode, I was really enjoying Andy, surprisingly, because in the beginning, I wasn't certain how I felt about him. and I definitely have to just drop a little nugget. Shout out to the producers, because that, like, little she's all that spoof that they did with Andy, that montage of him walking through the woods in slow motion.
Look, this diva.
I'm happy that they're, like, having fun with this. But yeah, so far, I've really been enjoying it. I don't know if I have outright favorites, but so far, the people I named. I've also been enjoying watching Saul play, too.
Yes, Saul is on the come up. He had a rough start.
He had a rough start, but my man is making a comeback. So I'm like, okay.
I love it for him. That's all fair. Let's get into it. We start off. Gabe is disappointed. He was ready for Rachel to go. Tiana's the one who left. I'm a little like that softens the blow a little bit that he's more focused on Rachel than being like, thank God we got Tiana out.
Yeah. I was happy about that because I was actually surprised, right, with the way things went. I thought that as soon as Rachel went, everybody was just going to jump on Tiana. And I'm like, oh, God, like, here we go. But the fact that there was at least a little back and forth and that Gabe wasn't really, I mean, not Gabe. I already knew Gabe wanted Tiana out. But the fact that, like, he had to put up a fight a little bit and Kyle was kind of like, you know, he wasn't really feeling it. That kind of made me feel good. I was hoping that Kyle and Tiana could pull out something because I really like watching Tiana play, too. But
she's scrappy. She was a scrappy.
She is. And I'm shocked. Like, I thought she was at least going to make the jury. But, you know, sometimes it be like that.
She was putting in that final plea, though. She was pulling at them hard strings. And Gabe was like, oh, my God. Like,
while I did not want Tiana to go home, I did enjoy the fact that Saul kind of pulled that card and said, no, I'm not giving y'all an easy way out and kind of pulled Rachel out of the mix. Because we see that time and time again, right? You always get the messed up rock draw or the messed up separation where it's like one person's a sitting duck. Mm-hmm. And I do like that option was at least thrown out there for this time. Like, let's see if they take the bait. And they did. It made for great television.
It did. It really did. Other than that, Rachel tells everyone she doesn't know who saved her, but of course she has a private conversation with Saul. She says, the minute I saw that thing, I knew it was you. And I was like, yay!
That was a cute moment. I liked it.
It was. They're bonding. And Saul also says that he's trying to lower his, like, threat level by being more of the funny guy than the strategic guy. I don't know if I completely believe him because it's like, Saul, you were also the guy when Rome was on his thing, going on ranting. You were like, oh, I don't know anything that was going on. Like, that was genuinely your position.
Yeah. So I'm really trying to see where Saul takes this because I'm like, okay, I see the angle, I see the vision, but also, does Saul like do funny things? Like maybe I'm missing that part, but like for me, Saul is clearly a strategic player.
I think we see
at least now. I saw more of that this episode.
I think we see signs of it. I mean, he's also the guy that's like begging Rome at that last word of like, please.
Oh my God, that made me sick to my stomach, bro. Because the way my pride is set up, I would have just been like, man, all right, send me home. Like, because I'm not finna beg. I am not finna beg. Like,
yeah.
And honestly, I do commend Saul for that. While I know that I would not have been able to do it, that's probably the reason why I'm like, good for you, because in these situations, that could be the reason why Saul is still here and Rome is not.
I think so.
When you learn how to read a person's personality, you gotta kind of figure out special manipulation tactics that are gonna work with them. Even if in that moment it feels yucky or it makes you feel stupid, it's like, I'm just trying to make it to the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that was hard for Saul to do. I know it was. I was sick watching it.
It was hard. It was so hard.
Yeah.
Another person that he is gaining is Kyle. Kyle's so interesting. He's an interesting player. I don't think anyone's like been against Kyle, but he's been kind of on the bottom ever since he lost TK and now Tiana. And, you know, he's like, I think Saul's my favorite person. We're here talking about Karate Kid because these youngins don't know. They don't know.
Exactly. Kyle is interesting. You know what? Something about Kyle, and it probably could just be the fact that he's winning everything. Kyle kind of reminds me of Hunter a little bit, just like in the way that like he's laid back. He has the capability to go out there and kick ass, but he's not cocky. He's not doing much about it. He's not really putting a target on himself other than the fact that like he's winning everything.
Yep.
But he seems kind of soft-spoken, but you can tell that there's more there to it. And like I'm really waiting to see what type of player he's gonna emerge as in these next coming episodes.
Yeah, it's interesting because Saul and Kyle are kind of the same. They are obviously beast in these challenges.
Yeah.
But socially, for whatever the power structures were on their original tribe, they're just seen as a lower threat because they didn't have the numbers.
And it's funny because Kyle is probably one of, well, at this point, he's proven himself to be one of the strongest players out there. But people are kind of just like, up until like this episode, I haven't even seen people mentioning his name.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he's been doing a good job of keeping his threat level kind of low, just going along with the tides. Oh yeah, whatever you guys want to do. But you know, once you start winning that immunity necklace, it's only but so many places you can hide.
Exactly. And I wonder if Tuku's still trying to just stay Tuku strong. They're like, that's their main goal right now, so he might be benefiting from that. Mm-hmm. And then this episode we got the return of the auction. How are you feeling?
Annoyed. I am feeling annoyed. Let me tell you something. When they bought that auction out, I said, oh no. Oh no. How y'all gonna do the auction for 45 and then skip 46 and then bring it back for 47?
What's up, Jeff?
I was tight because you know what? The auction is one of my favorite things on Survivor and I wanted to do it. And then I was just so certain that they were gonna bring it back for 46. They did not. And I'm like, okay, well, then Jeff did that interview and he said, like, you know, it takes a lot of manpower and it's expensive and blah, you know, all this and that and the third. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe we won't see it again. And then they bring it back the season right after.
This is a super villain right here.
Like, okay. How dare you? How dare you?
Because, and I'll get to more about this auction and what Mr. Jeff does, because he was super villain Jeff.
I was sick to my stomach.
That's fair. Now, before this, they still did the scramble in the woods. Andy's like, I have eyes. I think he gets anxiety brain to another level.
Yeah. He's overthinking it because he passed by like four scrolls. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, it's right there. But then again, you know what? Let me give Andy a little bit of grace because the way they show things on TV and it's like, it's right here with the neon sign, But it's not that easy to find things out there. As somebody who has literally walked through those woods and had things hidden, like, in plain sight, it's a lot harder to find things than it looks on TV. Like, it looks so much easier when they're panning to the exact item. Except for that one on that rock. He should have saw that.
Yeah. The thing is, like, even with the picture I have up of Andy and Rachel, they're in, like, maybe this was originally white clothes, but it's like tan clothes, and they love using like parchment paper that's a little brown. Everything's blending in. So
everything blends in. Everything blends in.
Yeah, so I get it, but he's so in his head. And that makes him one of the more interesting people this season, I think, because I'm just an anxiety girly. I'm like...
Same girl, same. The anxiety be kicking my ass sometimes. But it was cool to see him finally emerge this episode and kind of be like, oh, y'all thought y'all was about to just drag me along, but I got something for you. Like, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, he's been like that, because remember he had that conversation with Genevieve.
Yes.
He's all over the place, and I kind of love it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're portraying it as him being capable more than messy. Do you think he's capable or messy?
It's given messy, but like a strategic mess, you know, because it's definitely messy, but it's not messy in the way where it's like mess just for the sake of mess. Because then in the beginning, it was mess for the sake of mess, which is why he was all over the place and people thought he was a train wreck. But now he's doing it because he's hearing things, you know. He's like, oh, y'all thought I was a sacrificial lamb. I'm seeing that you guys are close and you think I'm an expendable. So let me stir up a little mess so that I can prove to y'all that I'm not as meek and incapable as y'all think I am.
Yeah, yeah. I am so curious what's been going on in Sam's head, because I thought when he picked up Andy, he was really gung-ho defending Andy to Sierra. Now all of a sudden things are flipped. I'm also very, very intrigued by the read on these two, by their castaways, because I think from the edit, we're seeing that obviously Sam's getting his way. When it came to where they were going to go, they took out someone else other than Andy when Sierra was pitching Andy in a way, because she can't trust Andy. He was being sneaky, outing that she was trying to work with the women. Makes sense.
And rightfully so. Look where she at and look where he at now.
Exactly. But it's so interesting that we saw so many castaways in this episode, meaning Gabe. Specifically, he's like, well, Sierra's the head of that duo. And I'm like, what is Sierra doing that Sam isn't?
You know what I think? And this may not be super evident based on the edit, but this is just somebody who's like kind of thinking about the 360 picture. I think between their dynamic, Sierra probably, like, you know, lets Sam talk. She probably lets him, you know, spout ideas, they bounce them back and forth, but between them, Sam is probably the louder personality. But when it comes to tribe dynamics, Sierra's probably the one who has better relationships with people. Yeah. And obviously, I'm not saying like better relationships to the point where they're not going to vote her out, because we know that is not true. But I think whatever is happening or whatever plan Sierra and Sam have going on between them, Sierra's probably the mouthpiece that's sharing that information or relaying that information to other people. So it's like, regardless of whether it's an equal power structure or whether she lets him have his way when they talk, if she's talking to everybody else about their conversations, they're going to be like, well, Sierra's always the one telling me things. Sam's taking the back seat.
Yeah, I think so. That's very possible. This was so ironic. I waited till the last minute to watch the episode, so I already knew who went out. But just seeing when Sierra had the most money, I was like, Sierra.
I just knew she was going to lose her vote.
I know.
I'm like, okay, girl, what we going to do? Because even when she, like, got her, like, you know, chips and guac and everything, she still had about $300-something left, I think, or $260 or something. Mm-hmm. But the fact that the tables turned and ended up being Sam with the most money, I'm like, Wow, I was not expecting that. With $1,000, I just knew she was not walking away from there with a vote.
Yeah, 1,060. Saul has 600. Okay, the rules of this is that the person with the most money in the end loses their vote like they did previously. People cannot share food, cannot do swapsies. And this is where I'm like, Jeff Probst. Jeff Probst, you're a supervillain. Because Kyle has already done enough. Has he not done enough? He ate a crab.
And it's like, you knew that man wasn't going to be eating no meat. But I mean, he did it. Sorry, my dog is like trying to.
No, you're good.
You want to say hi? Say hi.
Hello.
Jeff is definitely a supervillain because I feel like the auction would be so much easier if he would let people like swap and share. But then again, I think that also raises the stakes. So I get it. I get it, right? It's like, hey, you know that whatever is under here, you tied to it. Ain't no escape, ain't no way out. Like, it's yours.
Yep.
So I get it. I would not want that to be the case if I had the auction. I want to share. I wanna swap. Like,
yeah, exactly. So basically,
but you know what I just thought of? I think maybe if they do the auction in the future, it might be cool if like they allow people to swap, but like with some type of penalty or something like that. You know, yeah. I don't know what that looks like, right? Like, okay, you can swap, but you gotta pay an extra this amount of money, or you can swap, but you can't participate in the next challenge, or you know, you can swap, but you give up your vote for tonight's tribal council. I don't think anybody would be doing that, but
I think a good one would be. Because all of those are, like, really big.
Yeah, it would have to be something small.
Yeah. I think that if you did, you get only one swap. Because I'm thinking of things like we missed the schoolyard pick and stuff like that. But the thing about those is that you get to see who's actually closest with everyone. And if you get only one swap.
Everybody has to agree and allow you to do it. Maybe everybody has to vote and say, we're going to let this person have the swap because maybe somebody else wants to keep the swap for themselves.
Exactly.
That might be good.
Yeah. There's different ways, but Sam was like, hey, if it's meat, which is like, of course, Sam.
Yeah. Like,
he's so big.
Please.
These big like, men are like, if it's meat, give it to me.
And it's ironic. He still ended up losing his vote.
Like, I know. And Jeff said, and the thing is that Jeff got so serious. I paid attention to his face.
I didn't. I got to go back and look at his face now.
I'm always looking at that man. The minute Sam started saying, he was like, no.
No. I have to go back and pay attention to his face in that moment.
Yes. If someone's being disgusting, though, Jeff is very happy.
Oh, of course. Of course. Because that's great television. They're like, oh, yeah, let me torture you. I feel like Jeff, like, gets off on, like, the fish guts and the...
Yes.
What was that crap they ate? Grubs.
Okay. Let's talk about the grubs. So... we have these three. I guess they were the ones with the most money at the end, Caroline, Sam, and Sue. And so their challenge is they all get two grubs, and the person who gets it down quickest, then, what was it?
They get to spend their $200 on that breakfast.
Right, the grand breakfast. Now, when I saw those big, meaty grubs.
Moving. Let's not forget, moving on the plate.
That took me back to my childhood. And you know what I thought of, Tiffany?
What?
Lion King.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Timon
and Pumbaa were, like, as a kid, I was like, they are.
I did not even think of that. Oh, my God.
They are eating that up. Tearing it up.
Well, also, they're animals. So, like. Cool, that's what they should be eating. But and the crazy thing is, Sam ate them grubs, got that breakfast, spent his money, and still lost his vote.
I know.
I've been tight.
And like, Sue was trying. Sue was trying.
Poor Sue. She was trying her hardest, girl. Spitting it out. Like, at that point, it's not even worth it. If she was like spitting out black stuff, girl, I had to look away.
I know. It was so gross.
Now, you would have had to tap me out. I probably wouldn't have even attempted that. I'm not going to lie.
And then, yeah, because we had our one girly drop out of that completely. Who was it? Sierra.
Yes. Yes.
Sierra. Right? Yeah.
Well, yeah, because she still had, what, like $260 or something.
Mm-hmm. She's like, you got it.
Smart. Because, like, I know that's not my ministry. I'm not going to win this competition, so I'm not going to even attempt to torture myself with these nasty bugs.
Yeah. But you know what? Saul, I'm so happy for him. He even has a flower in his hair as he gets
Saul is living life right now. He's living life.
I love this soft life for him.
I do. And that pie looked delicious.
So good. And then Kyle, he's like, look, I already gave up veganism, switched to vegetarian to prepare for this. Again, Jeff is never happier.
I get it. I did it when I was out on the island.
Yeah.
I hadn't eaten like I think like meat or fish in like mad long. And when I went out there, like after not eating for a certain amount of days, you just gotta make a decision. It's like, do I want to be miserable for the next unforeseeable future? Or do I want to just bite this bullet and hope that my stomach is okay afterwards? Like, I'm lactose intolerant. I definitely drank that milkshake. Like when we had Applebee's, I'm like, I don't give a crap. I'm eating it. I'm starving. Like, yeah. We're going to eat this Applebee's reward.
How long?
And I don't regret it.
How many days did it take you to get to that point?
I think it might have been day 18 because that was like the day before I went home.
Okay. So before then, what were you living off of?
Coconut.
Okay.
And like at the rewards, I didn't eat any like meat or dairy or anything like that. But by the time we got to like day 18, I was famished. I said, nah, man, I need some sustenance. Mm-hmm. I need food, actual food. And I was like, I don't care. You know, I'll work that out with myself when I get home. I'll recalibrate.
Have you recalibrated?
I have. I'm not vegan anymore, though. I'm still mostly plant-based, but I did reintroduce fish into my diet recently. But that's not because of Survivor or anything. It's just because I've been seeing a nutritionist and we decided that that was what was best.
Yeah, that makes sense. Nice. Yeah. Other than that, I mean, then we just get back to camp from here. Sam loses his votes. Now, Rachel, she getting real lucky. Real lucky.
Yeah, I'm like, because what are the odds, right? What are the odds? And that's another thing that, you know, after you play Survivor and just after, because you hear people saying, like, Survivor is not all about skill. A lot of it has to do with luck. That's the type of luck. Like, what are the odds this girl gets saved? Then she finds an advantage that leads her to an idol. Like, what?
And on top of that, she knew it was burger and fries.
That was crazy. That was crazy.
Actually, I need to look up this woman's sign.
Yeah, like the intuition there is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So she goes back and she reads it and basically, oh, and I'm also paying attention to other people and who they're paying attention to. So she was sitting between Sue and Saul when she noticed the paper in her fries, and she takes it and goes under. I don't think anyone noticed. So she did have a good chance at that, but she does get spotted later. Now, the paper says that there is an idol hidden in the tarp of your camp. She finds it and she gets it. They kept acting like, oh, the whole entire camp's underneath this tarp right now. No, they weren't. You would have done a wide shot.
There's no way that she got that off without a single soul being suspicious of why she's messing around with the tarp.
Mm-hmm.
Ask somebody who did it. There's nothing to do out there. Somebody goes and starts messing around with the tarp. It's like, what are you doing? What are you doing back there? Everybody's nosy. And if you're naturally a nosy person, your nosiness gets amplified by like 10 times out there because you don't have anything to do. I find it hard to believe that nobody picked up on the fact that she was doing that.
Yeah. And
if that is truly the case, then shout out to her. This girl is blessed.
For real. Now, Sierra says that she feels great with Lavo because they tried to broker this merger, basically, Gata and Lavo. And she wants to take out someone on Tuku. Kyle's name is out there, but guess what? He's been winning all these challenges, but we still got a challenge to go to. So we'll see about that. Genevieve, she spots that Teeny, because they have different plans. So she spots that Teeny really wants to work with Gata, she finds that dangerous. We got a lot of people. She keeps saying that they're charismatic, so they must just be the popular kids.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, they must be chatting everybody up.
Mm-hmm. And they were already talking about Sam and Sierra. I like do and don't feel bad for them because
they were smart, and I'm not saying that this isn't the case, because obviously I know we see about maybe 10% of what actually happens out there. But I think them two knowing going into the merge that they already had this preconceived notion about them two being some type of power dynamic or power couple or whatever, they should have broke off.
Mm.
They should have, like, obviously I'm not saying they should stop working with each other, but they should stop making, like, the block so hot and being around each other all the time and, like, you know, making it obvious that they're clearly each other's number one and two.
Yeah.
Sam should have, like, made it his duty to have more alliances with one side, and Sierra should have made it her duty to have alliances with the other side. They could have divided and conquered and maybe kept one or the other safe, but I don't know if they did that.
Yeah, I think Sierra probably did. I mean, we saw the talks of the Women's Alliance didn't happen.
I thought she was the head of the snake because Sam wasn't doing that.
Exactly. Ooh, that's a good theory. That's a good theory. I like that. Now let's go back to Miss Genevieve. She is talking to Caroline and Sue about how she doesn't want to work with Gata. Caroline thinks Rachel is playing the best game. I want to know what Miss Rachel is doing. I mean, I know she's so right.
Because I'm like, why is everybody so shook behind Rachel? It's like, now granted, the girl has gotten lucky quite a few times and we see it. But up until this point, you know, we haven't seen much gameplay from her. She seems to be very under the radar. So I'm like, what kind of conversations and what type of effect is she having on people out there that she got everybody so scared?
Shook. Trembling. I'm like, she stole rice that one time. She got shocked.
I forgot about that. Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah. And then she lost
Monica.
But she was like, whatever. She obviously curved Andy. Andy wanted her. I don't know what's going on between those two. I wish I could know more about what her feelings are. Has she at least, like, made him feel comfortable? He's not targeting her. I don't know, but she got it.
I'm like, I need to see more, and I wish they would show more of just, like, because, I mean, they give Rachel a decent amount of confessionals, but I wish they would show more of her thought processes or, like, at least how she's relating to these other players and what type of dynamic is going on, because I still don't understand why everybody is so scared.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, they're seeing hours and hours of things that we never see, but I would like to see a little bit more of that.
Me too. It might give something away. I said the same thing at the, like, beginning of this season about Genevieve. Because I'm like, all right, Asia's doing her interviews. She's saying Genevieve was actually really in with Rome. But we didn't see that until, like, episode 3. Because they wanted to make a big turn. So I'm like, maybe there's a big turn for Rachel, and then we, like, really
maybe, like, we're anticipating, they're anticipating something happening, and, like, maybe we just see in it. Or maybe there are things that have happened that they just don't want to show us.
Yeah, maybe. Well, we do have a challenge, and this challenge, I'm just going to start calling this the Gabler Challenge, because who else?
I'm going to just tell you this right now. This also was very annoying to watch because this is the challenge that I lost the day I went home. And I'm angry because how dare y'all have a man and a woman winner this time? I would have been safe if you would have did that when I was out there last season. You kidding me?
You want me to pull up the Jeff picture so you can yell at him?
Yes. Pull him up so I can scream at Jeff. Because, like, Jeff, please, if you're going to be anything, beep. Be for real. No, but, like, deadass, when he said that there was going to be a man and a woman winner, my jaw dropped. Because I'm like, this is a challenge that I was a hair away. And I went home. I went home that day. I would have been safe if there was a male and female winner on my season. Are you kidding me?
Oh, I know.
It made me so angry. I didn't even want to watch it, but I did. But I was mad.
Jeff, you owe Tiffany. You owe Tiffany.
I was sick to my stomach.
I'm so sorry.
This was the second blow of that episode. Y'all ain't give us no auction. And then you gonna go and pull this? No.
Well, if for those who cannot see or maybe didn't watch the episode, this is the challenge where you are just cranking. You have to hold up a portion of your starting weight.
I think it's 25% of your pregame body weight.
Okay, and just hold out for the longest. We do get a male and woman winner out of this, and my goodness, I mean, Andy gave Kyle hell, at least.
Yeah, that was a good showdown. That was a really good showdown.
This is what I like about Andy. I know you had to like kind of come around, and I don't know what your feelings are. But I like Andy. Okay. I love that he has lows and highs even in the same episode. Like,
yeah.
I get why they're making him such a narrator for this season.
He's entertaining. He's entertaining to watch. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. That little montage of he's all that, it literally, like, it got me. I'm like, this is so funny.
Inspired. I mean, all of them were inspired. Sam, he's a broadcast journalist.
The broadcaster thing, that was funny too. I'm like, okay, I see what y'all doing here.
Yeah. So it's like all right, we're having fun that we got all of these podcasters and journalists on here. Now Kyle being skinny, he got two wings in his stomach and probably a lot of carrots and celery. He still beat everybody.
And that's what like kind of makes me think he's like that sneaky threat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Kyle looks like the type of person that climbs trees for fun. Like, yes. You know, just outside, outdoorsy type, like just doing things outside, which is another reason why he kind of reminds me of Hunter a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Survivor does love giving a backstory to a white man of like, how did you get to this? And we don't have that for him.
No, we don't. Maybe it's coming. Maybe. We haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Sue held it down. She was solid.
Look, Sue has will power. That's one thing you can say about that woman.
Surprised me. I was like, okay, Sue, I see you, girl.
Yeah, for sure. Is this her second? Because she held out a long time when it was that bouncing. No, she didn't win that. Yeah, it was Kyle.
I don't remember. I mean, I don't know if this is her second win or not, but I have been paying attention to her in the challenges, and she's been doing pretty good.
She has.
She didn't go down that fast when they were like holding the beam with the ball on it. I feel like didn't she hang on for a while with that one too?
Yeah, she did. Now, here's my question for you. Traditionally Gabe would be her meat shield, but she's winning a lot and stuff. So like at this point, even though Gabe's starting narrative was, oh, I pick Sue, I'm dragging her to the end, you can't even argue that you dragged her. So what is the benefit of this for Gabe?
Honestly, I think it's just Gabe just has to kind of like run his mouth, or the only other thing he could kind of get away with is like, you know, I came up with the majority of the plans, because at least from the perspective that we've been given so far, it does appear that Gabe is coming up with the plans and Sue and Caroline kind of just go along with it. But I mean, we can't even say that is like 100% true, because we haven't heard much from Sue. So it's like, maybe that could be her strategy. We don't know.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. She's definitely very, very loyal to him. But it's like so obvious her and Caroline are like this, because something happens. No, I think just when she won, like Caroline was about to cry. She's like a proud daughter.
Yeah. And it's interesting that people haven't picked up on that, or at least that people aren't like threatened by that yet. It's like people are like Sam and Sierra, but I'm like, nobody is noticing like this Caroline and Sue thing that's going on here.
Yeah, that's for sure. So it has to be that Gata just has the big personalities.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Because Sue and Caroline, they're like, they're quiet. They're under the radar. They're not like, hey, everybody, look at me. Like, this is what's going on. They're kind of just going with the flow at this point.
Yeah. So after this win, basically everyone has to figure out their plans to go to tribal. And this is when Andy takes his glasses off and talks about his transition. And then he's going around and he's like, don't think I forgot that those two think that they're so cool and that they own me and they were okay with me being the backup, But actually, I am here to get my revenge.
Yep. And so, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, Andy kind of ate this episode. He kind of ate a little bit. He's been eating.
I was like,
he ate a little bit. I'm not even gonna hold you.
Yeah, I knew he was gonna be the downfall of them. Like, I knew it.
Yeah.
So he's running around. This is what Rome thought he was gonna do. It's very interesting because I just wonder, like, what's the difference between the two of why this worked? Because all Andy does is he's going around throwing out the name. He's like, hey, Sam and Sierra to Caroline. He does it again to Saul. He does it again to Gabe. Gabe, I wrote, had the bad read that Sierra is the head of the goddess snake and not Sam, but who knows. And then Rachel and Sierra notice that there's a lot of talks going on and we're just standing here.
You know what it is? I think the difference between Andy and Rome is that Andy's going around suggesting a name to break up a duo that people already want gone.
Yeah.
Rome was trying to turn people on the same tribe against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And he did this the day he met these people. So you haven't even spent enough time with these people. You don't really know the inner workings of their relationship. They spent, what, 24 hours with you, and you already trying to say, oh, this one was talking bad about you. This one was talking bad about you. You don't have enough evidence to be trying to turn people against each other. And Andy's not necessarily trying to turn former tribe members against each other. He's just trying to get rid of people that he came over here with.
That's very true.
Of course, people from other tribes are going to be like, oh,
yeah,
those are people? You don't care if we get rid of them? Bet.
Yeah. Now, some people think that Sierra's fate could have been avoided if she kept Onaga. Do you think this move by Andy is going to bite him in the butt in the future?
Not immediately, no. Okay. I said the only way this immediately comes back to bite Andy is if people somehow decide that they like whatever Sam has to say. Because right now, the only person who was really super blindsided or upset by this was Sam.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Rachel has enough kind of footing and connection in the game that Sierra going home isn't really going to hinder her as much as it's going to hinder Sam. Mm-hmm. But Sam also has to be correct and how he plays this, because he could go back and look like the angry person who blew a fuse, and then that's going to do nothing but make his target bigger.
I mean, so, look at the teaser, though. I'm so ready.
So I don't know if this immediately comes back to bite Andy in the butt, because, again, that was somebody on his own tribe and not somebody that really anybody except for him and Sam and maybe Rachel had, like, connections with. But Rachel's doing her own thing right now.
She sure is. She sure is. Yeah, I think that makes sense. They do make it seem like Andy's shook by Sam, though, in next week's
teaser. I
feel like, listen,
there's definitely going to be fireworks between Andy and Sam. I can see that coming up, but I don't know if that works in Sam's favor, to be quite honest.
No, I don't think
You was a tooth hair away from going home, my friend. So, like, you coming back and blowing up is not going to help your case.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Now, we're doing a lot of talk and a lot of metaphors, but the most important thing is that Jeff asks everyone, raise your hand if you're unsure of the vote's going to go. Everyone raises their hand.
Yeah. I mean, you saw it was a tie. Mm-hmm. It was a tie.
Yeah. This is so good. This is what we want, though. So Rachel, she reaches into her bag. She gets her shot in the dark and puts it in her pocket. I noted that Caroline sees all of this. And then she plays the shot in the dark. Genevieve and Gabe looked so shocked.
I didn't pay attention to Genevieve and Gabe being like super shocked by Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't blame her for playing her shot in the dark, because it's twofold, right? I think that Rachel picked up on the fact that there could be a chance that she got some votes thrown her way because she wasn't getting that much conversation, you know, as discussed by her and Sierra. But I also think that that was kind of a play to throw people off the scent of the fact that she has an idol. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, could I be, maybe it wasn't like as strategic as that. Maybe it was simple as the fact that she might have been scared and she didn't want to use the idol prematurely, which good on her part, because now you do have the luxury of people not thinking you have an idol. Because if you was genuinely scared and you had something, you probably would have played it.
Is she playing that edge? She might be.
I don't know. Like, if she is, kudos to her. But as somebody who had an idol and didn't play it, I feel like there's this need to like hold on to it for as long as you can. So it's like, oh, like how can I go in there? I'm shook, but like how can I save this idol for just one more tribal? How can I? And nobody knows she has it. So I really genuinely believe that like it was probably just her trying to save it and not use it prematurely when she was not certain that she was getting votes.
Mm-hmm.
But if that was the goal and she really genuinely played it because of that, then she is probably as big of a threat as everybody thinks she is.
Yeah. I mean, she had to know that the plan was those two.
And who did she vote? Oh, you know what? She probably knew that the plan was one of those two and did that shot in the dark thing so that she didn't have to write either one of their names down knowing they were going to the jury, because that was her alliance.
Yeah.
Great gameplay. No matter how you slice it, that was great gameplay.
So good. And yeah, she has these connections now with Saul and everything. So, and Andy, I would imagine Andy would tell Rachel about this. So
yeah,
she could be exactly. On some side.
Or Saul would. Saul just said that Rachel was his girl. Yeah. I know he had to say something to her.
So she knew, but this is so interesting. Yeah, I like that idea.
I think that, like, if there was anything to it, I would probably put money on the fact that, like, maybe she played it so that she could kind of clean her hands of, like, the possibility of writing either Sam or Sierra and maybe not give away the fact that somebody told her that she might be getting a vote or two.
Yeah, fair. So everyone votes. It comes to 4 for Sam, 4 for Sierra, 1 for Gabe. Why Gabe in it?
Oh, I'm trying to figure out who voted for Gabe.
We should have looked at the end credits.
I gotta go back and look at that.
That was wild. But okay, this means we have to have a revote. I had to listen.
Oh wait, it has to have been Sierra because Sam didn't have a vote.
Right.
Probably would have voted for Gabe too.
Gotcha.
Sam didn't have a vote and Rachel didn't vote.
Mm-hmm. So I had to listen to Jeff explain this multiple times because of this. So Sierra and Sam usually would not vote again because they would only vote for each other and it would cancel out. Except Sam has lost his vote in that.
Interesting because I never saw that happen before.
Exactly. So actually she gets to one up him and they said no.
It still goes home.
They said goodbye. No.
Oh, and I would have been so sick.
She was so sick. She makes a comment about not being the biggest threat here and she walks away.
I mean, she not, but obviously the people who are bigger threats are either A, safe, or B, doing a better job of minimizing their threat level.
Yeah. So Sierra gets to be the first juror. She asked, this is the second time this episode, because Sue asked Jeff for a hug. She asked Jeff for a hug, and he obliges. So,
I'm telling you never really know what Jeff is going to do. Some days he evil Jeff, some days he soft Jeff. You never really know what you're going to get from that man.
He ain't going to say no to a hug. What would he say no to
You're right. Yeah, that would be kind of a dick move if he said no. She on her way out. Don't add salt to the wound.
He's here to give you suffering, but give you a hug after, like, a parent.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Because, I mean, it's no more suffering than getting kicked out the game. So I guess that would have been crazy if he told her no.
Okay, so here at Black by Reality, we usually pick a beautiful black moment when we down bad.
I was about to say, dang, I don't even... Ain't no black folks left. Dang, we is down bad.
We down so bad. This could also be your black girl joy watching the episode. Do you have a moment?
I mean, while there were no black moments this episode, I already said that I really like the little montage that they did for Andy. I'm trying to think what else I liked. I mean, a lot of this episode, I already told you my feelings. I was mad because they didn't give us the option. They gave them two immunities. And I'm like, please. I liked watching. I like the use of advantages this season. I feel like they're not just haphazardly being thrown out there. And I think that the use of advantages that I've seen this season has kind of counteracted a little bit with that sometimes that just real crappy survivor luck that happens. And it doesn't seem like the advantages are just out there for the sake of it. It's like the chips are literally just falling where they are, and some people are getting real lucky and some people are not.
Yeah. But
I'll say my black girl joy, I've been enjoying watching these advantages getting played. And it's not this episode, but I did really like what Saul did to shake things up last episode where he gave Rachel that advantage.
Yeah, that's a good one. For me, I think just watching, you know what, because I'm also an astrology girly, I'm starting to like get into tarot and everything. My black girl joy is Rachel saying, I just have a feeling it's Burger
Fry. And you're right. Yeah. No, I like that. I like that too.
Yeah. And then our chaotic bye moment. So this could be, we really stretch usually of like chaotic bye can just be chaotic, or you're the middleman in something in the situation for game shows. But also it is talking about the bisexual, and this season we have Andy, our bisexual.
Well, then we just need to give Andy the bisexual crown this episode, because he definitely turned this whole episode upside down. He showed his ass this episode in a good way.
In a good way. I wrote Andy going from almost no money to being one of the finalists in the following challenge.
That was good. That
was my chaotic bye, because sometimes being bisexual is very chaotic like that. You just have a really bad day one second, and then it all turns around.
Yeah, okay, that was good. Let me think. I mean, this isn't really like a... I'll counteract that with the opposite. Sierra having the most money in the auction and then going home.
Yo.
Like, and then going home. Crazy.
This episode was so chaotic.
That was crazy.
Yeah, it was. Oh, well, that's it for this episode.
I can't wait till next week, honestly. I want to know how Sam is going to react when they get back.
Same. I feel like he's going to make all the terrible moves.
Yeah, I just know that he better keep a level head, because as somebody who has been in that situation and been blindsided in the middle of a tribal council, you got to keep it cute when you get back, because if you don't, it's going to be all eyes on you.
We have to remember that this man lost it during an argument with Monica, and then just started with a hatchet, an actual sharp hatchet.
I forgot about that. Oh my god. Yeah.
He ain't keeping it together.
Zero chance to keep it together when they get back. Zero chance. I forgot about that.
Him and Andy are peas in a pod when it comes to those emotions, okay?
Yep. Well, we're going to have to, DM each other and recap that on the side after we see what happens next week.
Yes, we can. For you, Tiffany, where can people follow you?
You can follow me at Tiffy Crazy Cool, TiffyCrazyCool. And that's on all platforms.
On all platforms. I love it when you can get it on all platforms. And guys, I am Nicole Weaver, your host. We are going to continue our Survivor recaps. And other than that, we are taking it a little bit easy with everything else. I might have one more Love is Blind. This season, Love is Blind, Tiffany.
I have not. So I'm not like fully caught up, but I know everything that happens because, you can't really unknow things when it comes to social media.
Mm-mm.
Now that is some chaos over there. That is some real chaos.
It's a burning trash. fire.
Yeah, the whole dumpster fire. I don't know. It's like every season of Love is Blind gets more and more chaotic. And I'm like, where, to what end? Well, are we here for love, or are we just here for like chaos at this point?
Let's de-escalate, please.
Please, can we? Because like, let's get back to the good old days, you know?
For real. Oh my gosh. So basically, you can still watch I Love Is Blind recaps. I also interviewed Monica for Collider, which you can watch now on YouTube and also read the article. I also interviewed Marissa this week.
Okay.
So I will be working on that. It will come out. So yeah, you can look at all that information below. And I guess we got Survivor until the Traitors in June.
Yeah, I guess so. I'll be watching. I'll be tuning in for that too.
Traitors, I cannot wait. So other than that, guys, please follow Black by Reality across all socials. And have a good one. I hope you feel visible and stay visible today. Bye.